I'm Filsy.
And I'm Lynn.
And together, we're Roman Oz. Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out. AllAussieRadio.com.au.
Now syndicated too.
Backwater Country, 87.6 FM.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
At 9 PM. All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, I'm going to start off with a couple of songs.
Right.
First song I've selected is by a very talented young lady who we met at the Music in the Mulga Festival.
That's correct.
Now, she's only about 14 years of age.
I know. Very young and very talented.
Oh, my goodness.
She even writes her own music.
Well, she does. And this is one of the reasons why I want to give her a little bit of promotion, okay, because she's only 14. The song we've selected is a number called Sittin' Pretty.
Right, okay.
Now, straight after that, I'm going to play a song by the Outback Billabong Singers.
Never heard of them.
That's another reason why I want to give them a little bit of promotion as well, okay? Now, the song I've selected by those guys is a number called Up in Everywhere Man.
Right.
And the reason being?
We're going to be everywhere.
On this particular show. Now, where do we start?
Well, we start off at Bourke and we're walking along the Darling River and having a bit of a chat about it.
Give everybody a bit of an idea of the mighty Darling.
Yep.
Now, straight after that.
We head to Corinda and they're getting ready for the Let's Dance Festival.
And we chat with Simone Lennon. She's the publicity officer and band coordinator.
Yep.
And then after that?
Then you're chatting to Barry Bremner.
All about his second book.
Yes.
Workers on the Wallaby.
That's right.
And then we end up with
Barbara at Lightning Ridge Historical Society.
And a wealth of information she is.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, apart from all these wonderful discussions, we've also got a great selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
So, Lynn, what do you think?
On with the show.
I was humping me bluey along the dusty Udnadatta Road, when along came a semi with a high and canvas covered load. He said,
"If you're going to Udnadatta, mate, me you can ride."
So I climbed into the cabin and I settled down inside. He asked me,
"Have you seen a road with so much dust and sand?"
And I said, "Listen, mate, I've travelled every road in this here land. Course I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I've breathed the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Tullamore, Seymour, Lismore, Mullilabar, Manbourne, Bridgetown, Kilmore, Wilmar, Birdsville, Emmerville, Wallaville, Cunnamulla, Condamine, Strathpine, Crosspine, Ulladulla, Darwin, Gingin, Dillamkin, Narkabilla, Wallambilla, Buckabrilla, Cumberilla, I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I've breathed the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Moree, Taree, Drillree, Bamberoo, Toowoomba, Gunnedah, Kangaroo, Woolloomooloo, Dalveen, Tambourine, Engadine, Jindabyne, Lithgow, Casino, Brigalow, Narromine, Megalong, Wyong, Tuggerong, Wonganella, Morilla, Orgathella, Brindabella, Umfella. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I've breathed the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Wollongong, Geelong, Currajong, Nell, Bibby, Nunagong, Bolong, Grong, Grong, Gundawini, Yarra, Yarra, Boo, and Darra, Wollong, Yarra, Tarra, Marra, Bogga, Bry, Gundagry, Narrabri, Tipperborough, Golgong, Adalong, Billabong, Cabramatta, Parramatta, Wonga, Radical, and Gala, what's the matter? I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I've breathed the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Edalong, Dandenong, Woodenbong, Ballarat, Gander, Underdera, Captain Flat, Pong, Curry, River, Murray, Curry, Curry, Girraween, Terrigal, Fingals, Toggleball, Collaroid, Narrabeen, Bendigo, Dorigo, Bangalow, Indrabilly, Kirribilly, Urumbilly, Wallandilly, Nobisilly. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I've breathed the mountain air, man. I've travelled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been here, there, everywhere. I've been everywhere.
Oh, Phil C and Lynn here, roaming Oz, and we're in Bourke, standing on the banks of the mighty Darling River. Now, in the late 1890s, Bourke was a major inland port for wool. At its peak, the Bourke Wharf had three steam-driven cranes handling 40,000 bales of wool a year. This was shipped down the Darling to ports in South Australia and Victoria, then sent by rail to Adelaide and Melbourne for local textiles and export. Following the advent of irrigation on farms in the 1880s, cotton, citrus fruits and wheat were shipped by paddle steamers. The paddle steamers were used massive amounts of timber sourced from the riverbank to fuel boilers for power, causing a long-term reduction in habitat for animals and riverbank stability. They were also responsible for large-scale removal of fallen trees and snags from the river to improve river navigation. The Barwon-Darling River belongs to a complex system and highly variable flows. Many rivers within the Western catchment originate outside the catchment boundary, and flows are affected by actions upstream. Droughts may be followed by heavy rains, which fill thousands of small creeks feeding into the river, flooding the wheatlands and lakes, flowing across the wood plains, creating new watercourses and reaching widely dispersed billabongs and waterholes. Water supports and attracts life. It provides habitat for plants and animals, biodiversity, and supports commerce through industry, irrigation and domestic use.
In 1896, the government started an experimental farm at Perivale, just north of Bourke, growing everything from stone fruits to cotton. Citrus from Perivale was reportedly requested by Queen Victoria. Citrus plantings feature in the current irrigated landscape along with cotton, wheat, melons, grapes and jojoba. These industries form a significant contributor to the local economy. However, as the Darling is an unregulated river without a headwaters dam to regulate flow, water supply is far from guaranteed.
The Darling River system covers over 1 million square kilometres, 14% of Australia, flowing south from the Colgoa and Barwon River junction. From its source in Queensland to its mouth southeast of Adelaide, it is 3,037 kilometres long. The river was an integral part of the lives of the many Aboriginal people who lived along it and continues to hold great significance to Aboriginal people of today.
Quick facts about the Darling River. Varies from scattered waterholes to 80 kilometres wide when in flood. Captain Charles Sturt named it after New South Wales Governor Ralph Darling in 1829. Important to Australia's European heritage as a vital transport route for settlement and pastoral development, paddle steamers brought supplies to towns and stations and transported wool onto major ports. River ports established included Walgett, Brewarrina, Bourke, Louth, Tilpa, Wilcannia, Menindee, Pooncarie and Wentworth. The importance of the Darling River for transport declined in the 1920s as new forms of transport emerged. Bourke has a special place in the Australian culture. The phrase back of Bourke, meaning the back of beyond, has become entrenched as an Australian colloquialism. Several poets helped enshrine the back of Bourke in Australian legend. If you know Bourke, you know Australia, wrote Henry Lawson, who lived there between 1892 and 1893. Other famous poets associated with Bourke include Harry Breaker Morant and Scottish balladeer and poet Will Ogilvie. The country in and around Bourke was cared for by the Ngambi people for tens of thousands of years before Europeans arrived and remains important to Aboriginal people. Gundabuka National Park is 50 kilometres south of Bourke and is significant for Ngamba and Pakenji people. The creeks in the range continue to provide water in times of drought.
The port of Bourke became the focus for the world's largest wool industry. At one time, up to 80 riverboats and barges serviced the area. By the 19th century, Bourke was a major inland port meeting the needs of an expanding farming population. Paddle steamers regularly plied the Darling River. The last commercial service ceased in 1931.
Oh, well, listeners, there's only one thing for me to do now, and that's to play you a song.
And the song that immediately comes to mind, listeners, is Tanya Kernaghan's Where the Murray Meets the Darling.
Where the Murray meets the Darling lies a sleepy border town. The grapevines were in season, laid into the ground. On the gate a rusty sign, pickers apply within. From the cool of her veranda, she watched him wander in. All through the harvest season, in the long hot afternoons, they gathered grapes together, their love began to bloom. And somehow he had touched her, and like the clinging of the vines, their lives became entangled. Where the Murray meets the Darling, by the waters slow and brown, in a secret valley he laid a blanket down. It was there beside the river he pledged his love that day. Where the Murray meets the Darling, she gave her heart away. When the harvest time was over and the leaves began to fall, they planned to travel northward. It was time for moving on. But as the leaves were falling, one night he slipped away. Her love had been forsaken. The vines lay stark and gray. Secret value. she gave her heart away.
What a fantastic song by Tanya Kernaghan, listeners, where the Murray meets the Darling. I'm now sitting in the Corinda Hotel with the publicity officer and band coordinator, Simone Lennon. How are you, Simone?
I'm good, Phil. Thank you.
Well, that's great. Thanks for having us here. We're talking about the Let's Dance Festival, okay? Now, the song Let's Dance was, of course, made famous by David Bowie and filmed at this hotel back in 1983. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so this festival is obviously keeping the music of David Bowie alive, and it's also keeping, I guess, one of the things, it's keeping the town alive because it's only a small country town. You have this wonderful festival, so it only stands to reason that a lot of people would want to come and look at it this year. So is the festival getting bigger and bigger for you? Like, it's been running now for about 4 or 5 years, so are the crowds getting larger?
Yeah, we've found over time, and the years have gone, word of mouth, with everything spreading and everyone hearing about us having the festival, that it is growing. First year we had a bit of a doozy. It flooded on us, actually, so it was a bit smaller. But over the years, the crowds have been growing. Last year we had just over 300 people, and this year, with how things have been going and the response that we've had on Facebook and that about everyone asking whether we're having the festival and stuff this year, we're hoping to get maybe 500 or more people. Okay. So hopefully, yeah, big crowd.
Fair enough. Now, what sort of music? Obviously, it's a David Bowie festival, so I guess is all the music related to David Bowie?
The majority of the music is Bowie music. Mm-hmm. But we do have like a couple of bands that come in, like pub rock music, and just different stuff like that, a few different styles and stuff. So it's not not all of it is Bowie, mm-hmm. but the majority of it is with, you know, some of your classic pub rock
stuff. Sounds pretty good to me. This is a great little pub you've got here, the Corinda Hotel. So yeah, pub rock would sort of go off in here, I imagine.
It would be fantastic. We love a bit of pub rock and a little bit of Bowie here at the pub. Ties it all in together, and it's what Corinda's about, basically.
So when is the festival on?
So we hold the festival on the October long weekends.
Okay. And what sort of things happens at the festival, just for my listeners? What can they expect to see or do here?
Yeah, so over the weekend, usually kicks off Friday night with a band or a bit of Bowie trivia sort of thing. And then Saturday is the main day. So the morning we have like street stalls and markets. During the day you've got different demonstrations, sheepdog jumping, workshops that all of our festival goers can join in on. There's like whip cracking and, yeah, just different activities for everyone to do during the day. Mm-hmm. And then that afternoon and night our bands kick off. And yeah, takes us through to early hours in the next morning.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
Then on Sunday, we have the Bowie Street Parade. So everyone gets all dressed up. People do up their Winnebagos, uh-huh. Their horse and carts we've had here before. And they do the parade up to the main street to the pub. And then just after that, we kick off the Let's Dance reenactment up against the wall here at the pub where David Bowie originally did his Let's Dance music clip.
Right.
So yeah, everyone packs into the pub and they have, yeah, a great time doing reenactments. It's not just the Let's Dance song. They play a few different Bowie songs and that, and everyone joins in and it's really fun.
It sounds like a wonderful time. Now, there's no caravan park here in Corinda. So what do people do for accommodation if they want to come to this festival and stay for the whole thing?
We have the majority of the people that come here, they come in their caravans or in their tents, or they just roll a swag out, night mm-hmm. under the stars, you right. know, can't yep. get any better than that.
Mm-hmm.
But we do also, for people that, you know, don't have tents themselves or a caravan, we do have glamping tents that come out
okay.
That can be purchased to have over the weekend. Mm-hmm. There is some accommodation at the pub, but it's very limited. It's
okay.
pretty booked in, pretty mm-hmm. quickly. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Yeah, but mostly caravans and tents and stuff.
Okay,
yeah.
So where would they park their caravans?
So where the festival kicks off is down at the football oval.
Right.
So in there there's plenty of space for you to park your caravans or, mm-hmm. Yeah, pitch your tent. So up there where it's all happening is where you can camp.
Fantastic stuff. So you could actually probably listen to it, I guess, outside where you park your caravan. But bearing in mind, though, if they do want to park that close, they do have to pay to park probably, don't they?
Yeah, I think there will be a fee, a camping fee this year.
Yes.
Otherwise, there is another spot a little bit further away from the oval itself, which would be free parking.
Free parking.
Yeah, if you want to park in at the oval, there'll be a small fee.
A small fee.
It's nothing really.
Well, that makes,
really.
Look, it stands to reason. I mean, if you want to be where the action is,
yeah,
and park yourself right close to it so you don't have to stagger too far back to
it. Yeah, well, it's a one-stop shop. You've got, all your bands and that are going to be there, so you don't have to worry about, parking your car or walking anywhere after a big night.
Yes.
And even up the main street, like, it is, not that far from the pub itself, so okay. It's in walking distance.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's all right there on your hand waiting to happen.
Yep.
Now, so tell my listeners, what about the tickets? Where can they find or information about this particular festival and where can they purchase tickets?
Yeah, so our tickets will go up sale probably towards the end of April.
Right.
And we will be selling them on our Facebook page. So that's Let's Dance Corinda on mm-hmm. Facebook. And also on our website, which is www.letsdancecorinda.com. And they're both linked. You'll find our Facebook page on the website and vice versa.
Okay.
So when the tickets do go on sale, there'll be a link on our Facebook page and website. And you can just click on that and it'll go straight to
sales.
The ticket sales. And also same with the glamping tents. When they go up to be purchased, everyone will be able to find the information there. So, yeah, basically if they follow us on our Facebook page, they'll be able to keep up to date with everything that's happening and any news and information and, ticket sales and bookings.
So what was the Facebook page again, just for the listeners, in case they missed it the first time?
Let's Dance Corinda.
Let's Dance Corinda. Oh, yeah. There you go, listeners. Let's Dance Corinda. Check it out on Facebook. And why not follow it? Become friends of the festival. Oh, there we go, folks. That was Powderfingers, Babe. I got you on my mind. And Simone from the Let's Dance Festival in Corinda asked me for that one before we even turned the microphones on. I thought, better give her a bit of a heads up, and that's the one she selected. So if you're interested in seeing that Let's Dance Festival at Corinda, make sure you check them out on Facebook, okay? That's probably the easiest way. Or go to Google. You remember from last week we had a very special guest on the phone, Mr. Barry Brebner, and he was talking us through his Work About Australia book, a fantastic book for anybody travelling this great country of ours, and what a way to travel Australia, pick up some jobs and get some money along the way. Now, he's come back with us this week. He's graced us with some of his time, and I know he's an extremely busy man. He's going to talk all about his second book, Workers on the Wallaby. How are you today, Barry?
G'day, mate. Great to catch up with you again.
Absolutely fantastic, mate. Welcome to the program, and thank you so much for gracing us with some of your time. I know you're an extremely busy fellow, and it's always good to talk to you, my friend. How's it all going in Dubbo? What's it like in Dubbo?
Oh, it's not too bad, mate. We've had adequate rain. I think the rural community's pretty happy.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, we're poking along pretty well, and the place is busy, actually.
Yes.
And locally, there's a lot of work about.
Fantastic.
Which is great.
Like your book says, Work About Australia. And so there's work in Dubbo as well.
I think about that, mate.
Yep.
People say how hard it is to get a job sometimes in mm-hmm. the media and that sort of thing, but I look at we've got industries here in Dubbo, the building industry, the abattoirs, they're crying out for people all the time.
Okay.
Unbelievable. Right.
Fantastic. Well, for the benefit of my listeners from last week, they would have heard about you talking about Work About Australia. Now you're going to tell us all about your second book, Workers on the Wallaby, a swag of stories, a collection of travellers' tales. Tell us all about this one, Barry.
Well, Phil, when I finished up with Work About Australia in 2011,
right,
my wife and I were going to just enjoy our retirement.
Okay.
Unfortunately, in 2013,
uh-huh.
I got quite ill.
Okay.
I suffered from cancer.
Okay.
And we had to move to Sydney for treatment and that sort of thing. And when I came out of that and got into, back into feeling okay, I felt I had a lot of stories to tell.
Right.
And in my recuperation time, I sat down and wrote Workers on the Wallaby.
Okay.
I've got to tell you where I got the name from.
Yes.
I listened to Macca,
yep.
Australia All Over.
Uh-huh.
When I had Work About Australia, Macca interviewed me probably half a dozen times over the years about, jobs and where they were and what have you.
Right.
And he's always using the term on the wallaby.
Okay.
And I thought, right, that's where I'll put my book, Workers on the Wallaby, and mm-hmm. I'll write stories about people I met
right.
during my Work About Australia years.
Okay.
And, mate, as it developed, I got the people to send me their photos, which are included in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I started one by one, and I picked out a variety of people, so that they're not all similar, if you know what I mean.
Yes, of course, yes.
And, now I look back thinking about it, talking with you today, the stories that involve, one of the stories, A Journey to Another World, for instance.
Okay.
Written by two people, by myself, but about Peter and Jan Kruger.
Right.
And they left home with their two small children.
Right.
And I looked at the development. They were away for quite a number of years, and they ended up at Catherine. Colin and I called in there and stayed with them for a while they were working in Catherine. They bought a property just out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And a number of Work About Australia members did that, and that's what the club did. They
right.
stuck together and talked to each other and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I've looked now. This is many, many years ago, and their children are both up and running. They're doing well, and it was an educational thing for their children to travel Australia for so many years, do their education by homeschooling, and learn about our great country.
Okay.
And they've gone on to bigger and better things. So that was just one story.
Yes.
What about a veterinarian of many, many years who hit the road, wanted to hit the road and, follow their dream. They'd always wanted to, you know, travel and work.
Yes.
And he ended up getting jobs on properties as the vet. He ended up doing some, relief work when the vet knew he was there. They went away for a week's holiday and he did the replacement. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Indeed. And so they were the different one. I've got a tradesman, who's been on the road for many years. As a matter of fact, he was in Dubbo recently. I went and had a beer with him at the local.
Oh, wow. So he's in your book, and then you had a beer with him, and this book was written a long time ago.
Oh, this book was written 2000 and when? It'd be 10 years, 10 yep. years or so, not quite yet.
Yes.
And, I keep in touch with all of these people, Phil.
Yes.
As I do with many Work About Australia club members who now still belong to Work About Australia, okay. even though I'm not involved.
Yes.
There is a movement of, like, a friendship out there.
Okay.
It's a culture of people who, some people travel together.
That's true.
I mean, I still keep in touch with a couple who came here from New Zealand. And their story was from New Zealand to the Alice.
Okay.
And it was they got into Australia and they went to the Brisbane Caravan Show.
Right.
And they came to one of my seminars. They joined Work About Australia.
Okay.
And when I look back on their work,
yep.
What they did, they got a job on in a caravan park. I think it was Goondiwindi.
Okay.
He worked as a truck driver in other areas.
Okay.
And, and ended up in Alice Springs. They've now gone back to New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
They're back in New Zealand, and okay. I have spoken to them, a number of times. I give them a call or they give me a call and just say hello.
Yep. I'm just looking at that now in your book. That'd be Warren and Karen Blue.
Is that them?
That's them from New Zealand. From New Zealand to the Alice.
New Zealand to the Alice. Can I tell you a funny aspect of that story?
Sure, absolutely.
When they registered at the Brisbane Caravan Show, she filled out the form, the membership form, and she put her name down, Karen Blue.
Okay.
And I said, "What, Karen Blue?"
Yep.
My daughter, a bit younger than me.
Okay.
She married a Don Blue
right.
from New Zealand.
Okay.
And it turned out that Warren and Don were cousins.
Right.
And they hadn't, like Don's been in Australia for many, many years and met my daughter in Adelaide, as a matter of fact, and then they got married and they now live in Queensland. But they joined and her name was Karen Blue, the same as my daughter.
Right. Amazing. What are the chances? Are the chances?
You wouldn't believe it, would you?
Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
Well, look, I think this is a fascinating book. You've got about 11 or 12 groups of people you've written about. Cool. Helen and Greg and Karen and Warren and Lindsay Livingston.
The other interesting one is A Road to a Dream.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about that one.
That's very interesting because it's a woman on her own, whose children had left the nest.
Okay.
And she wanted to travel and work.
Okay.
And she did. She had one of those, accommodation vans. What do you call them? Camper van.
Camper van, yep.
Yeah, and she headed off, and her story is fascinating.
Okay.
She met some great people, saw some great things, and I still communicate with her as well.
Okay.
And, all of these people are just, they've got a story to tell, and hopefully I've been able to tell it in Workers on the Wallaby.
Look, it's a great-looking book. There's lots of really lovely photographs in here as well. I'm just looking at one here, Camels on the Trek to the Barossa Valley, and some fantastic photographs. And I'm sure my listeners are going to love this. I'm going to give away a couple of copies of this, Barry. To some of my listeners.
That'd be lovely.
Yeah, yep. I think I'm going to just say at the end of this segment, The first couple of people who call me up, they're going to win themselves a copy of Workers on the Wallaby, a swag full of stories. So many people like to read on the road. I found this. I've done an interview, or rather my partner did an interview with Carly Lane. She's a very famous author that lives up here. She's one of Australia's bestsellers. Right. And I guess people on the road have said to me, oh, you need to interview authors, you know, because we love to read. People love to read. And we interviewed Carly before. She writes novels, and this one here, A Swag Full of Stories. I think this is going to be a fascinating read for for a couple of lucky winners. Is there any other interesting one in there, Barry, before we wind this segment up?
Well, let me look. What about Hey, We've Done It?
Okay. Tell us a little bit about We've Done It.
Hey, We've Done It. I believe many people often think, gee, I wish we could work about Australia.
Yes.
You know, it's a dream a lot of people have.
Okay.
And that's what Greg and Helga Phillips had. They actually had, that dream to travel and work. And when they did it and we discussed it, I thought that was a great name. Hey, We've Done It.
Yep.
And the interesting thing is that I communicate with them a lot. They actually live at Greenvale.
Okay.
Where, you know, the Three Rivers.
Yes,
The song Three Rivers.
The Three Rivers Hotel.
Hotel. Yep. And there's a photo in, I think it's in the book too, of the Three Rivers Hotel. And, I still communicate with them. But they're all great stories.
Barry, thank you so much for your time. What's your next favourite song for this segment there, Barry?
Oh, I've got to stick with Slim, mate, and we'll go Lights on the Hill.
Lights on the Hill for Slim Dusty. Barry, thank you so much. Barry Bremner, listeners, Workers of the Wallaby, and if you missed his discussion with me last week, Work About Australia. Fantastic discussion. Thank you so much for your time, Barry.
No worries, mate. All the best, and hope we catch up on the Wallaby.
We'll catch up on the Wallaby, my friend. I will catch up with you again, my friend. Thank you so much. Now, stick around,
thanks,
listeners.
Mate.
Slim Dusty's Lights on the Hill.
Oh, yeah. It's a long, straight road, and the engine is deep. I can't help thinking of a good night's sleep, and the long, long roads of my life are a-calling. These rough old hands are glued to the wheel, my eyes full of sand from the way they feel, and the lights coming over the hill are a-blinding me. It's a long, tough haul from away down south. A man's gotta find a little bread for his mouth and a home for a girl as sweet as my honey can be. So it's down through the gears, she's a-starting to song they sing is a part of my mind, and I can't believe it's really happening to me. Oh, but I'm over the edge and down the mountainside. I know they'll tell about the night I died in the rain when the lights on the hill were a-blinding me. See the post, and I haven't got a ghost of a chance. No. The windscreen wipers are a-beaten in time. The song they sing is a part of my mind, and I can't believe it's a really happening.
side. I know they'll tell about the night I died in the rain when the lights on the hill were a blinded me. In the rain when the lights on the hill were a blinded me.
Don't ask any questions. Don't snoop around his claim. He'll be out with a dog and a shotgun. Who knows what he's hiding or why he makes his stand? Men like him are buried alive with opals in their hands. Well, they say he came from Lismore. Well, that's about all we know. He came for a weekend only 20 years ago. Well, he must have had money in the bank, for he's found a lot more than potch. For every month he sends a cab for another case of scotch. He's a dreamer, he's a drinker, a bull ant in a hole. He's a schemer, he's a thinker, he's a lonely soul. He's gouging for the opal like a wombat or a mole, way out there at Lightning Ridge. Down below the leopard wood, below the bimble box, get your thrill on Lunatic Hill. Flashes of dancing colour, green and gold and red. Mix it with black and you're on your back, digging until you're dead. Well, it's not about a fancy car, it's not about the cash. They passed the hat for a swimming pool and built it in a flash. No, it's all about the opal, you get it in your eye. You see a glimpse of heaven with angels in the sky. And you're a dreamer, you're a drinker, a bull ant in a hole. You're a schemer, you're a thinker, you're a lonely soul. You're gouging for the opal like a wombat or a mole, way out there at Lightning Ridge. Sing with me. He's a dreamer, he's a drinker, a bull ant in a hole. He's a schemer, he's a thinker, he's a lonely soul. He's gouging for the opal like a wombat or a mole, way out there at Lightning Ridge. Way out there at Lightning Ridge.
Ah, there you go, folks. That is Johnny Williamson from his Mulga Mungo's album, Lightning Ridge. And our next guest is Barbara, and she's from Lightning Ridge.
All right, we are now continuing on with more of Roman Oz, and the next person we're going to chat with is Barbara from the Lightning Ridge Historical Society.
What else is it known by, Barbara?
On the street, you'll see the sign Heritage Cottage Hospital Gallery.
Okay.
And we are listed under the TripAdvisor as well.
Fantastic. So tell us all about this place.
Well, this place has been going since 2000. We opened for Federation,
mm-hmm.
and we have a 1932 miners' cottage
right.
that we occupy as a street front. And behind us is the relocated Bush Nurse Association building. And that was built in 1915 up the street on the old Walgett Road.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
We have a significant Bush Nurse project here,
uh-huh.
and that was the first subscription medical service in New South Wales.
Right. So how long have you been associated with this building, and how long have you been in Lightning Ridge, firstly?
I've come to Lightning Ridge from Cooper Pedy with an opal miner, and we came here for trees and birds. So many people arrive in the ridge and think it's going to look like Cooper Pedy or White Cliffs. But, you know, we get a lot more rain than they do if we're lucky.
Okay.
And this year we have been lucky.
Uh-huh.
But we came across and, of course, also found some very nice opal. I drove the tour bus for 16 years, so I guess you know that I like to talk.
You do.
Because I'm born in the U.S. of A., I'm a great talker.
Yes.
But it was a logical step for me to pick up with the Historical Society mm-hmm. in learning about my local community so that I felt more welcome, because this is my chance to give back to Australia. I've had a wonderful life here.
Okay.
I emigrated to South Australia in 1975 from Germany.
Right.
Born in the U.S. of A., but, you know, uh-huh. I'm a gypsy.
Yes.
And that's who lives at Lightning Ridge, are lots of gypsies.
Lots of gypsies.
Yeah, just because some of them are underground
okay.
doesn't mean they don't continue to have excess energy.
Okay. So you did some mining and prospecting here, you said.
Well, I found my first opals in the gutter of the main street, all cut and polished.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, yeah, eyes to the ground around here.
Uh-huh.
And you're a fool if you don't do that. Staying at the caravan park, you'll find bits of opal that little kids have dropped,
okay.
big kids have dropped.
Uh-huh.
And other than that, we have beautiful gravel.
Fantastic.
We have clear topaz, agates, jasper, carnelian, and beautiful petrified wood.
Now, it's becoming quite the tourist attraction, Lightning Ridge, isn't it? It's I was here 4 years ago, and it's just seems to be booming, like with tourists.
Well, I think that's because we're able to travel statewide.
Yes.
And at the moment, we can travel anywhere we like. But 2020 was a very quiet year for all of us.
Of course.
We know that. But we have been busy right through the summer this year, since June 1st,
mm-hmm.
because we've had an extra cool summer.
Right.
And we've had plenty of rain.
Okay.
So people were quite happy to be here over the summer months.
Absolutely.
Ordinarily, our season starts at Easter and closes the first weekend there in October.
Mm-hmm.
So we have like a six-month season.
So what else is there to do in Lightning Ridge? You mentioned before the car door tour. Can you explain that to us?
Well, the car door tours, I like to think it's something free to do.
Yes, it is.
Because not everything costs money.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you can't value everything in a monetary way. The car doors, we actually started here in the backyard as a car park tour.
Right.
Because this is a historical reserve, our historical society, and we have a second reserve out on the six-mile field.
Uh-huh.
And we wanted to get people out there to admire the beautiful stone and plaque that marks Nettleton's first shaft. And of course, Charlie Nettleton, we now, how many years later, I think that reserve was established in 1988, we now have Charlie Nettleton in bronze at the front of our block in town,
mm-hmm.
and people have learned the name, and they're generating the interest, and we wanted to get them out to see where he dug his shaft. Well, that was successful.
Right.
People got out there, and about 5 years later, John Murray, the local artist, became the president of our tourist association.
Mm.
And he said, hey, let's do a car door tour here. Because he's very creative.
Yes, he is.
And, of course, we love recycle and repurposing here. And that's just exactly what we did then. Our car park tour became the green car door tour, which is now the sunset tour that people visit.
Yes.
And it's an outlook towards the west, towards the flat. And we have the red, yellow, green and blue, and they get you around outside the town with confidence.
Yes.
Because that's the fear we have when we come to a place like this with roads going everywhere.
Right.
You've got to have the confidence to go forward.
Yes. And there's so many interesting things to see when you're actually on these tours, aren't they?
Absolutely. And it's fun to be able to stop and start
mm-hmm.
because you're just counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mm-hmm.
And even though rules tell us that you don't start fossicking on someone else's ground.
Yes.
Listen, smile and be friendly.
Mm-hmm.
People respond to a smile and be friendly.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it would be the pretty cranky person who saw you with your pick and shovel, or that'd be another matter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, now, what about what else you've got here? You've got this, tell us about this beautiful, we call it a camper trailer. What? Tell us a little bit about that, because it's quite amazing. Yeah. And looking at it, it looks like a box trailer that somebody's modified and turned into, I guess, a miner's camp.
Yes. We're sitting here in the backyard on our patio because uh-huh. 2020 closed our little buildings down,
right.
Like most buildings in town. And when June 1st came, we really could not guarantee any sort of health regulations because our little 1932 miner's cottage has a dirt floor, it's small spaces, and we just really kept the doors closed and worked hard on developing the yard.
Yes.
Now, we are great collectors of rusty bits, as I've noticed most Aussies are.
Yes.
And we've just consolidated a few, and we have plaques to read about the family that lived, for instance, in our little box trailer at the back. But these are the people we really wanted to talk about, because the Malouk family has been instigative in getting our swimming pool up and going.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that.
And some of you might remember, it's been back 1990.
Okay.
In fact, just when we arrived from Cooper Pedy here, that the pool was opened by Don Fraser.
Oh, wow.
An Olympic pool. I mean, it's totally wonderful out here in the bushes.
Yes.
And our swimming team has done very well because they can.
Okay.
We've had an international meet here, and it's been now, well, 1990, it's been over 30 years. We've developed an undercover aqua center.
Yes.
With an Olympic tower for diving. I used to say, who needs that? It's a liability.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you what, it's pretty wonderful. With a short course pool, using the hot artesian waters so that we can swim the year around, because that pool's only open during the tourist season. The Malouk family and children have done so much volunteering, donations, and supporting the project. I am pleased here at the Historical Society to give them credit of their very modest beginning. 5 years in a box camper trailer,
mm-hmm.
looking for opal, pick and shovel, candles. This is back in the 60s,
yes.
into the early 70s. And when they did find opal, hey, they bought a block of land in the town. It was very cheap still then, and built their house and had their girls. And there we go.
Yes.
The rest is history.
The rest is history. And it is, Lining Ridge is a very community-minded town, isn't it, really? Everybody's sort of out to help everybody else. And
well, I like to say, and I'm sure you've observed this, Phil,
mm-hmm.
that people have come here because they wanted to. They wanted to be their own boss, perhaps.
Yes.
We have over 50 nationalities represented. And in earlier years, in the 60s, when the immigrants were coming over from after World War II, they were coming and working on projects up in the Pilbara, the Snowy Mountain Scheme. And they were people, a lot of them from Eastern Europe, they'd never owned anything. The government ran everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they just wanted a little plot of ground. They wanted to be their own boss.
Yes.
And Lightning Ridge was a perfect place. Anybody who wants to get rich just can get out there and dig.
Okay.
And certainly you follow certain protocol.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to work, you have every chance of being a millionaire tomorrow.
Wow, fantastic. All right, well, look, you've been amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time to tell us all a little bit. Before we go, tell us all about, you're wearing the shirt, and it says Spark, Sparkle?
Well, Spark.
Yeah, what's
spark
that?
Spark is a sort of founded on Vivid in Sydney.
Okay.
And those of you who've seen Vivid, the beautiful light show on the
right.
old Customs Building and
yes.
the Museum of Contemporary Art, ours is on the side of our Black Opal Heritage Shed,
right.
which is part of the big project here at Lightning Ridge, the Australian Opal Center.
Mm-hmm.
And we, the Historical Society, are the storytellers
okay.
that bring the opals and fossils alive
right.
in this new project that's going in the ground out on the 3 mile field.
Okay.
And the Black Opal Heritage Shed is very much a part of the project. It's where we have precious icons or rusty bits, whatever you want to call them,
yes.
undercover. And it's an educational space where we can sort fossil material. I mean, we've only named two new dinosaur species in the last 5 years here at Lightning Ridge.
Wow, okay.
It's a treasure trove.
Yes.
And we also show on the side of the building Spark, a
yes.
light show that tells you all about Lightning Ridge. It's 40 minutes
mm-hmm.
under the stars. You do see parts of the sunset in the beginning, and it's a story about who we are, and it will make you feel more welcome here at Lightning Ridge.
Sounds amazing.
Our Bush Nurse Project is also one that's very significant here at the Historical Society.
Okay.
So when you come next year, I'm sure that we'll be in business as usual
okay.
with our gallery of bush nursing.
Uh-huh.
50 nurses in 60 years.
Okay.
And Gabby Hollows is our patron, so it's not a sort of tiny little project.
I want to know, Barbara, I have to play you a special song. Which one is it?
Ones who sang it for the America's Cup.
Living down 19... a land down under?
That's the one.
All right. Well, we'll be playing that for you, my dear. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Barbara.
It's been an absolute pleasure. You're a wealth of information. Stick around, listeners, for Men at Work's Land Down Under with more Roaming Oz straight after that.
Zombie. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? Where women go and men wonder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page or allaussieradio.com.au.
Tune in next week for more Roaming Oz.